Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the San Diego Housing Commission regular meeting and special meeting of October 5th, 2018. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Before we get into the business of the day, let me just go over a couple of house rules, if I could, please. For any members of the public that are wishing to address the commission, we ask that you complete a speaker form. I believe the forms are right over there. We're going to limit them, each speaker, to 3 minutes or less. And if you need additional time, please let me know that. The non-agenda public comments are going to be heard at the beginning of the hearing, and then we will get into the agenda items of the day. Any questions on that, you can bring the speaker slips over here to Angie to my left, and we'll go from there. Okay. Again, we've called a meeting of both the regular scheduled meeting as well as the special. To order, we will work through the items on the regular meeting first, and in getting right into the non-agenda public comments, I have a request to speak from Martha Welsh. Martha?
Martha Welch, I'm here to pick unfair housing. The Chinese, right now, if they're legal, they've got 70%. Now, that's not right because of the other group, but white has spent and white is not fair. Now, I work with, I know they're not legal because I work with the governor, and we stopped their Medi-Cal and food stop. Now, SFC scandal is broken because it rocks the county. Now they know they're not legal. Now, somebody in this room might have the bribes also, and it rocks now. The FBI is back, so how'd you come back and look at all these formal housing? Because that's not fair with what's going on. It's not fair. So also, Bill Horn is the person behind this, everything he does right now. Because where's the money go right now? We know HUD, they got supervised, got HUD all these years, and they've been no building at all. The houses are before him. So all these years, that's how I opened the FAI, that he embezzled the money. That's how I opened up. And also Section 8 is also the embezzled, and we have the checks. So also, now, online you said Market Square. Now, that's the lie. It's Potiker. It's 13 years ago that was the name. So you're lying on your form right now. That's I know because of the lawsuit. That's why I know about that. So now, Gentry's on the board of Sandy Square. Now, that's going to be the next Chinese go on there right now. And also, it looks good outside, but I've been inside, and I know inside it didn't fix. So it looks good outside, but now it doesn't fix. Now, right now, you have units, but we need two or three bedrooms. We don't. Everything is studios, one bedroom. That's what you do here. And what about the families? Where are they supposed to go? So this is wrong. What you do here, it's not right. What you do, you talk units, but we want to know about bedrooms. And this is not right. What you're doing, and you should change what you're doing, break the rules, because this is wrong. What's going? It's gone too long. And now everything like that, the hotels. That's only a studio. You've got to have families. You've got to have families. And you don't do the right thing right here.
Thank you, Martha. All right. Very good. One thing I failed to mention, we have a quorum here with Commissioner Benvenuto and Commissioner Hubbard absent today. And so let's go right to Commissioner comments. Commissioners, any comments? Seeing none, we'll go right to our President CEO, Mr. Gentry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, my compliments to Vice Chair Benvenuto in her absence. As you know, she was the staff person at the Chamber of Commerce who set up the annual Chamber of Commerce trip to Washington, D.C. this past week. And the Housing Commission had several different roles to play in that conference that I think was a benefit to the attendees. On Monday, we set up a meeting with some of the congressional staff to help explain how housing policy is set and appropriations are done. On Tuesday, I accompanied the mayor to meet with HUD Secretary Carson. And on Tuesday afternoon, there was a meeting at HUD with the HUD staff who are over the homelessness allocation, funding allocation programs, as well as other city allocation programs. So the Housing Commission was well represented and showed well, I believe, in that meeting. Also on something that's going to show well, as you all, I think, already know, the Housing Our Heroes program has received NARO's Annual Award of Excellence, which will be presented at the annual conference in Atlanta in later this month. And Housing Our Heroes program is the Housing Commission's collaborative initiative with the City of San Diego. The initiative was launched on March the 1st, 2016, and within 18 months housed 1,000 homeless veterans who were looking to secure rental housing. And the Housing Our Heroes program is one of only 22 programs nationwide that NARO, which is the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials, is recognizing this year with an award of excellence. So it truly is significant, and I think it reflects excellent policy set by this board as it set up a strategic planning process some 5 years ago, and also represents some excellent work by the by staff here. So that I appreciate. Finally, I have in front of you this morning something that I thought would be of interest. We are continually being asked questions about how we spend our money, how we allocate our housing finance proceeds, and exactly how that money gets used. Sometimes questions are very critical. But we continue to try to communicate better and better and simpler on how the money is utilized. And this particular form, I think, which we devised this last month for a private sector group asking us to make this a one-pager and also very simple to understand, I think it is very useful. And I think that I commend it to you. And if you have questions now, we'd be glad to have staff come respond to it. Or what might even be better is if you have questions later on and wish to have conversations, we'd be glad to. This is public information, I might add, that is out there. And I just thought this simple one-pager report showing that our housing investment monies are fully utilized would be of interest to you. And that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. I too had the opportunity to attend the chamber trip to Washington, D.C., and noteworthy, I attended, I think it's the organization's called the National Council on Homelessness session. Mr. Matthew Doherty that presented the findings, and it was interesting from a national perspective to get an update on a national problem. And really the most discouraging part is to hear that there's really no magic bullet that has been developed on how to resolve the issue. And they're really looking to individual cities to deal, to find solutions that are fit for them. And so kind of discouraging to get those news for sure. While we're on the side where it's a little bit deeper and more problematic for us here, given the counts that we have, it's an issue that is nationwide on this as well. So it was insightful, but yet discouraging to get those news from Mr. Doherty. Very good. Let's move on from that, and we will go to the approval of the minutes of the meeting of September 13th. Mr. Christensen, both Commissioner Hester and I were not at that meeting. Should we postpone the approval of the minutes, it's difficult for us to approve supporting something that we weren't here at. I'd appreciate your counsel.
Yeah, absolutely. In the past, we've just had, it's not necessary to have a four votes on minutes, so I think the people that were present can vote on those approval minutes.
Appreciate that. Okay, minutes of September 13th have been distributed to the commissioners. Any corrections or deletions to those minutes? I have a motion by Commissioner Walsh, second by Commissioner Davis. Any further discussion on that? All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The minutes of September 13th are approved as presented. Okay, let's get into the first business of the day, and this is item number 100. Item 100 is the final bond authorization for Hillside View Apartments. Mr. Correa, are you going to lead the presentation on that? You have the floor, sir.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Joseph Correa with the Housing Finance Division. This item is the final bond authorization for Hillside Views Apartments. The recommendation is that the Housing Commission recommend the Housing Authority authorize the issuance of up to $41 million in tax-exempt multifamily housing revenue bonds in two separate series, or 5471 Bayview Heights LP, to facilitate the acquisition and rehab of Hillside Views Apartments, which is located at 5471 Bayview Heights Place, San Diego. And that will include 297 rental units that will remain affordable for 55 years. Background on this, this project was previously called President John Adams Manor. You may recall we came to you a couple of times this year on this item with initial items that needed to be done for issuance of the bonds and then later for an increase in the bond amount. It has been renamed Hillside Views Apartments. The proposals for the Housing Authority to issue up to $41 million of tax-exempt family housing revenue bonds. And you earlier, as I said, approved certain bond issuance required preliminary steps, as did the Housing Authority. They also approved. On September 19th, the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, CDLAC, approved up to $41 million bond allocation. The California Tax Credit Allocation Committee is expected to approve on October 17th, $22.7 million of 4% tax credits. And our final approval is contingent upon that TCAC approval, and we would not go to the Housing Authority until we receive that TCAC approval. Hillside Views is a proposed acquisition of rehab, 300 existing apartment units for families, located at 5471 Bayview Heights Place. It was constructed in 1977, previously rehabbed in 1999. It is a mix of one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom units, plus three manager's units. It's a very large project with 300 units. There are 38 two-story residential buildings and a management office. We have development details in your report at Table 1 and Page 1 of the report. The developers, the co-developers, are the nonprofit Metropolitan Area Advisory Committee on Anti-Poverty, also known as MAC, and the nonprofit Kingdom Development. These are both experienced developers. We have in your report, Table 2, Page 3, a summary of the development team. Also, at Attachment 3 of the report, there's an organization chart for the partnership itself, which shows you how the partnership works. This is substantial rehabilitation. It includes improvements to interiors and exteriors. We have a location map here on the screen. You can see it's a fairly large site. That little curlicue in the middle is a street, which they hope to have vacated. This is a location site map, which shows you how many buildings there are, and there are quite a few, as you can see. Site photos. This is an overall photo of the structure. Another photo. Still another photo. Playground area, typical kitchen, typical living room, and onward we go. Estimated sources and uses is in Table 3, Page 3 of your report. The total development cost is estimated at $82,469,150. That amounts to $274,897 per unit of total development costs. In addition to bond proceeds, the funding will also include a combination of various sources, including the 4% tax credits, a seller carryback loan, a seller credit, seller replacement reserves, and deferred developer fee. It's important to note that there's no Housing Commission cash loan funds in the proposed source of funds. So our loan money doesn't go into the deal. It's simply coming from the other sources. What we are contributing, what the Housing Authority is also contributing, is the bonds themselves, the issuance of the bonds. This project has a novel financing structure. To finance the acquisition rehab, there'll be two series of bonds issues. Bond Series 1 will be up to $29 million, structured as a tax-exempt, short-term, two-year maturity, fixed-rate interest, publicly offered bonds, which would be purchased by a bond underwriter. That bond underwriter is RBC Capital Markets. RBC Capital Markets is part of the Royal Bank of Canada, and the Series 1 bonds are expected to receive a Standard & Poor's rating of AA+, which is very, very good. Following rehabilitation completion, there's a conversion to permanent financing, and these bond series ones are replaced with a conventional Fannie Mae insured mortgage originated by Red Mortgage Capital. Bond series two is a separate issuance of over $12 million. It'll be structured as tax-exempt variable interest rate with a LIBOR index, short-term two-year unrated bonds to be privately placed with California Bank and Trust Company, which is a division of Zions Bank Corporation. Both this bond series one and two are issued simultaneously. So the major difference between these two is one is publicly offered and one is privately placed. The financial advisor's feasibility analysis and attachment seven of the report. Our financial advisor is here today, Peter Ross, and he has an excellent summary at attachment seven of the structure. Table four has performance indicators. It's on page four of the report, and table five shows you comparable development projects on how this one stacks up. The affordability is summarized in table six at page eight of the report. There are 300 units, 44 ones, 214 twos, 39 threes, and the developer intends to have more 50% units than are required. Which, and the reason for that is they currently are renting at lower than required. I need to make a correction at the report. My report at page 8 needs to be corrected. I refer to the current 1999 TCAC regulatory agreement as restricting affordability of 120 units at 60%. It actually restricts 285 units at 60%. Until 2029. So what this proposal would do is give you an additional 12 more units of affordability than are now currently required under the previous financing and extend the affordability on all 297 from the 2029 to 2073, 55 years in the future. Estimated schedule, if you approve today, then the Housing Authority would review this. And the estimated closing and bond issuance would be around November of this year. The developers hope to start construction in November and complete by the end of next year, which is a very aggressive schedule to rehab 300 units in 1 year. So just a summary, the proposed Housing Authority issuance is up to $41 million of tax-exempt bonds. The developer is responsible for paying all the costs of the bond financing. The bonds don't financially obligate the city, nor the Housing Authority, nor the Housing Commission, and neither the full faith and credit nor the taxing power of the city nor full faith and credit of the Housing Authority are pledged to the bonds. The Housing Authority is, in effect, a conduit issuer. In other words, we're a pass-through entity. In a conduit structure, the bonds are limited obligations of the issuer and secured only by the loan, which the issuer assigns to bondholders or to bond trustee. So the Housing Authority is the issuer, takes no credit risk for the project. If the revenues don't support repayment of the loan, then the bondholders or a third-party credit enhancer would suffer the loss. So finally, simply put, there's no Housing Commission cash loan funds. The bond issuance will result in 55 years affordability for 297 units. There are significant benefits for the community, including preserving affordable housing, creating some construction jobs and jobs to material suppliers, and the tenants become the real winners because they are getting much improved units. So the staff recommends approval. I have with us today representatives from Kingdom and from the other co-developer, MAG Project. I also have Peter Ross, our financial advisor, who is here to answer technical questions on the bond structure.
Thank you, Mr. Correa. I appreciate that. I do remember this project, and the commissioners may as well, this one coming before us. Remind me on the rehab work, how that's going to be done. I believe it's in phases, and we haven't to pay any relocation costs while that's going on. Can you remind us on that, please?
Yeah, perhaps I should have Grant Stevens, the developer, come up. I could explain it, but I think he would do a better job than my feeble explanation.
Thank you. And while he's coming up, I'm going to offer the opportunity to either Mr. Ross or Mr. Manriquez from MAC Project if they wish to address the commission as well. Go right ahead.
Oh, good morning. Grant Stevens with Kingdom Development. So your question was if the rehab was going to be completed in phasing. And yes, that's correct. And we are going to have relocation during the project, but it's not going to be permanent relocation. It's going to be tenant in place. So tenants will just be asked to vacate their units from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Do you have you already began to communicate with the tenants about that this is coming?
I believe the MAC has had some preliminary, you know, discussions on the rehab. However, now that we're getting closer, we're going to start having some more extensive conversations with the tenants, with the relocation consultant who's putting together the entire plan and overseeing this process.
Thank you, Mr. Stephen. Mr. Manriquez, are you anticipating any displacements through this process?
No, I was just going to add a little bit more to what Grant was saying, is that we are going to do the renovations with the tenants in place. We have, we expect to be within the units within a week, maybe a little bit longer. And as we progress, I think it's going to be going much faster once we get a groove. All the units are pretty much very similar. We have been starting to send additional information out to the residents. We will be having town hall meetings in multiple languages at the site. And so one of the things that I think wasn't mentioned here as well is that we are going to be constructing a new construction building there, a 5,000 square foot community center, which will, right now with 300 units, there is no, one of the three bedrooms is the community center. Which is about 1,000 square feet. So it is going to be something of substance that will be able to provide additional resources there to the community. But we have no plans of relocating anybody outside of the property. There will be an instance in a couple of the buildings that the families will be out a little bit longer. They will be staying likely at a hotel, but we will be paying for those relocation costs and per diems, and that's because we will be converting several of the units to ADA units.
Thank you. Let me just ask you, the new building, I'll call it a club hall or
community center.
Community center, is that contingent upon getting the street vacated?
No.
No. And what is the status of the street vacation?
We are in process of the application. We have submitted. We're getting the comments back. We're trying to find out what additional requirements we will need to meet in order to vacate that street. But vacating that street is critical as it allows control of that space. If you saw in the little red diagram, a little piece going up, that really helps create better control of the
traffic within the development.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Commissioners, any questions of Mr. Manriquez?
Yes.
Yes, Commissioner Hester.
I'm sorry.
Go right ahead. We'll go to Commissioner Davis. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation. I wanted to ask, I want to make sure that we understand the demographics of the tenants because, you know, one of the things that you said is they're going to be asked to vacate their properties from 8 to 5. Families may have grandparents that are not able to leave and vacate, and where exactly will they be going? That sort of situation. So I'm concerned about how the tenants are going to be accommodated during this phase.
So any resident that needs any assistance while they are vacating during the middle of the day, there will be there are some vacant units right now that will be held as what we call hospitality suites. So they. The families, if they need a place to go to, they will be able to go there. If there are insufficient units, we will identify other resources that they can go to, maybe even a hotel as well. But we will address the cost for those.
Thank you.
Commissioner Davis?
Yes, and we're not removing the street. All we're doing is asking for the city to vacate it so that we can take ownership of the street, but we're not going to change the street itself. And what we're doing throughout the site is that we are actually planning to connect sidewalks throughout the entire property, maybe even to an idea where people can go walk and do some exercise inside as well. But we are absolutely planning to do a lot of ADA improvements, which is what percent of units are we doing ADA? So 5% of the units within different buildings throughout the property will be ADA accessible as well.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? I good luck on the vacation, the street vacation. I think that that will help a lot in controlling outside traffic within. I think it'll improve the security within the development. So I wish you luck on getting that completed. Commissioners, any other questions? Mr. Ross, do you wish to address the commission at all on any of the financing?
These are both issues are short-term financings. They should be retired in about 2 years. And it's important to note that during the entire time frame, that while these bonds are outstanding, they're supported 100% by cash or cash equivalents like treasury bonds. So it's very, very safe. The public offering is sort of the heart and soul of this transaction. That's going to be rated AA+ by S&P. So you have a third-party rating agency overlooking it. And then the other short-term financing with California Bank and Trust is also going to be cash collateralized and basically funded in two installments, but all times 100% cash collateralized.
Very good. Any questions on the financing from any of the commissioners? Appreciate your comments, Mr. Ross.
Thanks.
Okay. Commissioners, I have no other requests to speak on this item. Any questions of staff or any of the consultants? Mr. Walsh?
Just to make sure we clarify. So the report calls for some relocation. So will tenants be relocated temporarily? I understand there's an 8 to 5 o'clock relocation, but there may also be others that have to be relocated into hotels overnight due to taking those units and making them ADA accessible. Is that correct?
Correct.
Do you know the number?
5% of the units will be ADA accessible, so it's about... Turning the math, 5%, 15,
give or take 15
units, but they're not going to be in one building, so they're going to be in multiple buildings. So I anticipate that might have a little bit of flow into some other units. So between 15 and maybe a little bit more, depending on if they're impacted during the construction of those or renovations of those units.
Okay, I think the conclusion which you led to, just to restate, is that if it's necessary to relocate any of those tenants, they will be provided with hotels, and those that are relocated from the 8 to 5 time period will have a hospitality location that they can go to, so they'll be comfortable during the process.
Correct.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Hearing no other comments, the chair will entertain a motion to approve. So motion by Commissioner Davis, second by Commissioner Klumper. Welcome aboard. All those in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The final bond issuance for the Hillside View Apartments. Mr. Correa, thank you for your presentation. All right, commissioners, let's go on to the other item on the regular agenda today, and that is item 101. This is a workshop discussion on the Homeless Housing Innovations Department with all the program updates, and I believe this is going to be handled by Ms. Jones and with assistance from Mr. Davis, I think, or no. Ms. Jones, go right ahead.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Lisa Jones, Senior Vice President of the Homeless Housing Innovations Department, and with me today is Deanna Villanueva, our Director of Housing First Operations. We are pleased to present an overview of the Homeless Housing Innovations Department, the 2018 fiscal year accomplishments of the Housing Commission's Housing First San Diego Homelessness Action Plan, and the Housing Commission's and City's Homeless Shelters and Services Programs. In 2010, through a memorandum of understanding with the city, the Housing Commission began to administer the city's homeless shelters and services programs. The Housing Commission created the Homeless Housing Innovations Department in fiscal year 2013, as the Housing Commission took on additional monitoring and oversight responsibilities, as well as additional homeless programs from the city. In the following fiscal year, under the leadership and direction of the Board of Commissioners and Mr. Gentry, the Housing Commission launched the initial Housing First San Diego Homelessness Action Plan. And in July 2017, the current phase of Housing First San Diego was launched. As the Housing Commission's leadership role in addressing homelessness has grown, so has the Homeless Housing Innovations Department. We brought on staff to provide direct services through a variety of programs in our operations team and added staff to our administrative team to effectively and successfully oversee contracted homeless housing and services programs on behalf of the Housing Commission and the city. Currently, our department consists of 29 staff members. The chart before you illustrates the significant and growing investment the Housing Commission has made towards addressing homelessness over the last 7 years. These programs in particular require more personnel than other programs because of the population they serve and the direct one-on-one interactions that are necessary with family, landlords, and service providers. Our expected expenditures by the major programs in fiscal year 2019 will total more than $88 million. Our status as a moving to work agency has allowed the Housing Commission to leverage our available resources to address homelessness. More than 8 years ago, the Housing Commission became one of the initial public housing agencies in the nation to receive approval from HUD to use our federal rental housing voucher funding to provide long-term housing for individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Today, the Housing Commission has committed more than 4,000 rental housing vouchers to address homelessness in the city of San Diego. This includes vouchers awarded through the Housing First San Diego. We continue to expand upon initial efforts to address homelessness, and so, as I mentioned a moment ago, we launched the current phase of Housing First San Diego, July 1st, 2017. Deanna will now provide you with an overview of Housing First San Diego's 2018 accomplishments.
The current phase of Housing First San Diego will create at least 3,000 housing opportunities over three fiscal years for individuals and families who are at risk of or experiencing homelessness. The Housing Commission is directing $79.7 million in federal, City of San Diego, and SDHC resources over the course of those three fiscal years. Six initiatives make up Housing First San Diego: homeless prevention and diversion, moving home rapid rehousing, landlord engagement and assistance program, or LEAP, permanent supportive housing, moving on rental assistance, and our coordinated street outreach. These initiatives provide comprehensive services to address a wide range of needs within our community by assisting households with immediate short-term needs through programs like prevention diversion, households with more significant moderate-term needs through programs like rapid rehousing, and households with the highest long-term needs through permanent supportive housing. Prevention assists individuals and families who are at risk of homelessness to remain permanently housed. Diversion assists individuals and families who are newly homeless by identifying alternative permanent housing options and other necessary support to stay out of shelter. Both interventions offer services such as temporary rental assistance and light touch case management to ensure that individuals and families become stably housed. With the fiscal year 2018 general fund allocation from the City of San Diego and our collaboration with the Downtown San Diego Partnership's Family Reunification Program, we successfully stabilized 882 households within the first year. The Moving Home Program added new rapid rehousing resources to the region's coordinated entry system. Rapid rehousing is an intervention informed by a housing-first approach and is a critical component of a community's homeless crisis response system. Rapid rehousing assists individuals and families experiencing homelessness to quickly obtain and maintain permanent housing through a tailored package of assistance. Assistance can include time-limited financial assistance and targeted supportive services both during the process of obtaining housing and then during housing to ensure housing stability. In the first year, the Housing Commission's Moving Home Program successfully housed 171 households. Landlords are essential partners in the Housing Commission's effort to address homelessness through Housing First San Diego. The Landlord Engagement and Assistance Program, or LEAP, provides incentives for landlords who rent to anyone experiencing homelessness in the City of San Diego. LEAP is an expansion of the Landlord Incentives Program that was crucial to the success of the Housing Our Heroes initiative, which helped secure permanent housing for 1,000 veterans who had been experiencing homelessness. LEAP has increased and seeks to continue to increase the number of available units through recruitment and retention efforts, including providing financial incentives and support to landlords renting to individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Key elements of LEAP are ongoing, such as the unit incentive payments, contingency fund, staff support, and housing navigation services. In partnership with private landlords, the apartment associations, and 22 homeless services providers, LEAP has secured housing for 1,203 households in the first year. One of the largest gaps in our homeless assistance system is the availability of permanent supportive housing. The Housing Commission is investing up to $50 million in federal moving to work funds and local funds to acquire single room occupancy units and other similar property types, and to partner with developers to create up to 500 permanent supportive housing units from fiscal year 2018 through fiscal year 2020. On August 1st, 2017, the Housing Commission released a permanent supportive housing notice of funding availability for $10 million. To date, the Housing Commission has awarded development funds toward the creation of 93 new permanent supportive housing units, 43 at Beacon Apartments across the street from City College, and 50 at San Ysidro's Senior Village Apartments. Additionally, on September 8, 2017, the Housing Commission Board approved the investment of up to $15.19 million to acquire Quality Inn and West Park Inn, located in the Bankers Hill area near downtown San Diego, to create 137 permanent supportive housing units for San Diegans experiencing homelessness. The Housing Commission completed its purchase of these properties, and lease-up of these units is currently underway. These Housing Commission investments represent 230 new permanent supportive housing units. On September 4, 2018, the Housing Commission continued its commitment to develop 500 permanent supportive housing units under Housing First San Diego by releasing a second permanent supportive housing notice of funding availability for $20 million. Our Moving On program is a partnership between the Housing Commission and the County Behavioral Health Services Division. The program provides rental assistance to formerly homeless individuals who have successfully stabilized in permanent supportive housing and are able to live more independently while accessing community-based resources as needed. Providing Moving On rental assistance frees up scarce permanent supportive housing resources while continuing to help individuals with less intensive supports. In the first year, 13 referrals were received and 8 households have leased up. We anticipate that we will assist up to 50 households by the third year of Housing First San Diego. Outreach capacity continues to be a major gap in San Diego's community-wide homeless crisis response system, for which funding has not yet been identified. The Housing Commission has dedicated a limited amount of funding through Housing First San Diego toward establishing a new outreach pilot program. The Housing Commission and the Regional Task Force on the Homeless are working with the support of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development technical assistance staff to develop a program to move San Diego outreach efforts toward a client-centric, systemic approach. The Regional Task Force on the Homeless has been working with the Housing Commission to create new program setups within the Homeless Management Information System, or HMIS, to capture outreach activity data from the city's temporary bridge shelters, as well as location data by neighborhood and district. In addition, the city's Department of Information Technology has been working with the Housing Commission staff and temporary bridge shelter providers on creating mobile hotspot mapping through geographic information system technologies. This new tracking will provide the ability to more quickly aggregate data and provide reporting to enhance the community's ability to review outreach activities, help inform policy decisions, and direct resources effectively. In the first year of our current phase of Housing First San Diego, the partnership programs have exceeded expectations and created more than 2,000 housing opportunities to address homelessness in our community. The current phase of Housing First San Diego builds upon accomplishments of the first 3 years, 2014 to 2017, which created housing opportunities for close to 3,000 San Diegans experiencing homelessness. Housing First San Diego 2014 to 2017 included initiatives such as Housing Our Heroes, which housed 1,000 formerly homeless veterans, and increasing the permanent supportive housing inventory by awarding $29.8 million toward the development of 407 permanent supportive housing units. Additionally, Hotel Churchill was renovated to create 72 permanent supportive housing units, predominantly for veterans experiencing homelessness.
Currently, the administrative team of the Homeless Housing Innovations Department oversees both the city-funded homeless shelters and services programs and federally funded continuum of care programs that the Housing Commission receives funding for through direct grant agreements with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Currently, the Housing Commission administers 36 programs throughout the city via agreements or subcontracts with nonprofit community-based homeless service providers. These programs include 13 permanent supportive housing programs funded through federal continuum of care funding and 6 rapid rehousing programs, 4 of which are funded through continuum of care funds and 2 through city funds. In addition, the city funds 4 transitional housing programs, 3 interim shelter housing programs, 3 temporary bridge shelter programs, and 7 supportive services programs. The city's year-round interim housing program, operated by Father Joe's Villages, provides 350 beds for single adults and served 1,710 persons in fiscal year 2018. Connections Housing Downtown, operated by People Assisting the Homeless, or PATH, provides 150 interim beds for single adults and served 509 individuals in fiscal year 2018. Cortez Hill Family Center, currently operated by the YWCA, serves families with children and provides 45 individual units with 156 beds. In fiscal year 2018, 823 individuals were served, of which 508 were children. The Neil Good Day Center, operated by Father Joe's Villages, provides a variety of critical services for adults experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness, including access to bathroom facilities, washing stations, a place to receive mail, and providing linkages to homeless resources and other community services. 7,360 individuals were served in fiscal year 2018. The city's Homeless Transitional Storage Center, currently operated by Think Dignity, has been in operation since 2011. The center offers a safe and secure space for persons experiencing homelessness to store their belongings, providing up to 400 bins daily. In fiscal year 2018, it served 565 unduplicated individuals. The city's temporary bridge shelters offer a centralized location for individuals and families experiencing homelessness to receive temporary housing and services necessary to expedite placement into permanent and longer-term housing. The single adult shelter, operated by Alpha Project for the Homeless, opened on December 1, 2017, and provides 324 beds daily. The veterans shelter, operated by Veterans Village of San Diego, opened on December 22, 2017, and provides 200 beds daily. And the Families with Children and Single Women's Shelter, operated by Father Joe's Villages, opened on January 3, 2018, and provides 150 beds daily. Since shelter opening, 2,309 individuals were served across the three temporary bridge shelters through the end of fiscal year 2018. The city's new Storage Connect Center opened on June 13, 2018, and provides up to 500 bins. The Connect Center helps keep homeless San Diegans' belongings off of downtown streets, sidewalks, and storefronts by providing a safe place for persons experiencing homelessness to keep their belongings as they look for work, attend classes, or meet with service providers. 110 new clients enrolled within the first 2 weeks of center opening, and as of September 30, 2018, 404 bins have been utilized. The Housing Commission has been the lead organizer for Project Homeless Connect Downtown San Diego 8 consecutive times. This one-day event provides opportunities for persons experiencing homelessness to access critical services such as medical and dental care, acquired California state identification through the Department of Motor Vehicles, and connect to the Regional Task Force on the Homeless Coordinated Entry System and access a host of other homeless service providers. Major organizing partners are the City of San Diego, Father Joe's Villages, Family Health Centers of San Diego, and the Interfaith Shelter Network. This year, Project Homeless Connect served 845 San Diegans experiencing homelessness on January 31st. This slide details the many homeless service providers that the Housing Commission's Homeless Housing Innovations Department contracts and partners with through our 36 programs. Developing strong collaborative relationships is essential. Effectively disseminating and incorporating best practices, innovative initiatives, and up-to-date HUD guidance into program policies and practices is crucial to ongoing program development and success. In addition to weekly communications and monthly reporting and monitoring with providers, the administrative team hosts quarterly roundtables as part of our ongoing partnership and oversight of city and HUD-funded programs. The roundtables give the Housing Commission an opportunity to highlight best practices, discuss program developments, ensure program compliance, and give an opportunity for providers to share challenges and successes. This slide provides a quick snapshot of fiscal year 2018 accomplishments in terms of persons served and or housed. In fiscal year 2018, 332 households were supported through our continuum of care-funded permanent supportive housing programs. 471 persons were placed into housing in our city or continuum of care-funded rapid rehousing programs. 347 persons were served in the city-funded transitional housing programs. 3,042 persons were served in the city's interim housing programs. 7,360 persons were served through the Neil Good Day Center. And 565 persons were served through Think Dignity's Transitional Storage Center. Now we will take a quick moment to highlight future projects. Under the leadership of our CEO, the board, and the Housing Authority, the Housing Commission has become a key leader in the city's and the region's homeless crisis response system. Through legislative efforts in the mayor's office and support from Housing Commission leadership and staff, the City of San Diego has successfully advocated to bring additional state funding to the city to support efforts in addressing unsheltered homelessness. The state-funded Homeless Emergency Assistance Program will bring an additional $14.1 million in one-time funds to the city. These funds will provide additional financial resources to implement additional rapid rehousing programs, prevention and diversion programs, and outreach, among other initiatives. They will also will increase resources for addressing unsheltered homelessness for additional transitionally aged youth and provide funds for flexible spending subsidies to address a variety of barriers that can prevent persons experiencing homelessness from effectively utilizing services and transitioning back into housing. The Homeless Housing Innovations team will be working closely with the city to assist in the development, implementation, and oversight of these new programs. The Housing Commission also has a strong partnership with the Regional Task Force on the Homeless. The Housing Commission's grants team provided support and resources to help the Regional Task Force successfully apply for and receive the largest single award in the country for the HUD-funded Youth Demonstration Program grant, and Homeless Housing Innovation staff are currently participating in the Operational Committee and Leadership Committee to finalize the next phase submission, which is due to HUD for ongoing program planning. In addition, departmental staff have participated in the identification and development of the task force's new homeless management information system, which is due to be implemented in November 2018, as well as the review and potential redesign of the region's coordinated entry system, a project that is being led by HUD technical assistance staff. Housing Commission staff are excited about the redevelopment of these two critical components of the region's homeless crisis response system and will continue to support the regional task force in the refinement and deployment of these projects. That concludes our presentation, and we're happy to answer any questions.
Wow. This is a new reality for the Housing Commission, and this is something that during my tenure here, we've changed significantly in this direction out of necessity. I appreciate Ms. Jones, Ms. Villanueva, your summary. That's a very nice summary of the presentation. Mr. Gentry, before I conclude, did you want to say something before I conclude? I guess when it's multi-pronged. I mentioned earlier today about getting briefed by the National Council on Homelessness. I think that's the organization named Mr. Gentry in D.C. And I mentioned how no magic bullet out there on a national basis for addressing this societal problem. It's no surprise to me that you have people from cities all over the place, Commissioner Hester, that are coming into San Diego to see what we're doing here. When you hear a summary, as was presented by Ms. Jones and Ms. Villanueva here, you can understand this is well thought out. It has depth to it. I'm impressed with the partnerships that we've developed because we can't do it alone. I like the fact that we have we've stayed with programs that have worked and pivoted away from programs that haven't. That's what we have to do. In business, that's what we do. We try things out, and if they don't work, we make changes. And in this case here, I think that that's something that I'm quite impressed with. Real impressed with the partnership with, and I know I'm biased because I spent time with the Downtown Partnership on the Family Reunification Program. Like, where the numbers are impressive that what we've done there. So with that, let me turn it over to you, Mr. Gentry, for your comments.
Just a couple of broad comments going backwards and one going forwards. This is not an arena that the Housing Commission was originally designed to deal with. I mean, we're a full-service real estate corporation. We own and operate real estate. We finance real estate. We provide subsidies to real estate. And our core programs serving right now, not counting homelessness, depending on how you measure them, anywhere from 60 to 80,000 San Diegans every year. So that's our core business. However, this has been a growth area for us, a new business niche since 2010. I still blame former Mayor Jerry Sanders for this when he asked us to take over the the shelters in 2010. And I'll point out what a lot of people miss because of it's not obvious. There was a concern that when we got rid of those initial winter shelters that the uptick in homelessness that happened right after that was because we got rid of the shelters. Wrong. That's like saying a rooster crows in the morning and the sun comes up, so therefore the rooster's crowing causes the sun to come up. Now, if you notice, we're housing the same number of people year-round now that we housed 4 months out of the year before. We're doing it now in a permanent shelter at Father Joe's, and they raised the money at Father Joe's to match our money to make that happen. Is that kind of thing that is not obvious that we do, that we have to continually publicize and tell our story about, because what we do is not always obvious to people looking from the outside, particularly in a program area where the problem continues to get worse despite our best efforts against it. I'll point out that our first foray into this on our own in a very serious fashion was Housing First San Diego 1.0, which we launched November 12, 2014. We targeted getting 1,500 people off the streets. In 3 years, we hit 3,000. 2.0, which was mainly the Housing Our Heroes program, as I mentioned earlier, is getting a national award at a conference later this month. 3.0 that we put on the street in the summer of 17, which is spending $79.7 million over the following 3 years, we targeted to get 3,000 people off the streets. We had to hit that heavily in the first year, partly because we're not just relying on new construction, which is very expensive to do it. We're relying on everything we can get our hands on to deal with, including the family reunification program that the chairman mentioned a minute ago. So this is an effort where we are learning as we go. We've got a number of different efforts we put together on this, and I suspect this is going to continue to grow going forward. We're fortunate with the leadership of Mr. Davis and Ms. Jones and all their staff in this program to have first-class people who are doing excellent work. They could not be more pleased with that. But I suspect that although we are, and I'll point out we are not the homelessness agency for the city or this region, but we are doing our part. And just about everything we've done has been based on somebody asking us to. So we've stepped in as we've developed capacity over time, as we have identified resources over time. And I think that although the problem still gets worse, despite our best efforts, you can imagine what it would be were we not in this arena. And had we not achieved the numbers that Lisa and Deanna showed to you just a bit ago. I also suspect that going forward, our efforts in this arena are going to continue to grow. And I will just alert the board to something that was asked of me since the last board meeting by the other board I report to, and that is the Housing Authority. And this was a specific request from Council Member Chris Ward, who also chairs the Homelessness Task Force for the city, who basically asked the Housing Commission to take the lead in finding the best expert we can find in the country to put together a homelessness strategic plan for the city going forward. And I committed to Mr. Ward that I would do so. It's all preliminary right now, but I have identified the agency I want to use and is the best in the country. We have started discussions and negotiations with those I'd be glad to share with you in private. I don't want to sour into those negotiations by saying something in public I shouldn't at this point. But I suspect that by the next board meeting, we will have that strategic plan, the plan to do the plan in place. In my native Southern, there's a concept called you're fixing to do something. We're fixing to do it now. And the doing of it will commence once we get a contract with this entity closed. And I have no idea what direction the strategic plan is. Set of recommendations is going to lead us to. That's why we're hiring an expert. If we knew it already, we wouldn't need them. So that, I think, will play out between the end of this year and probably about next summer, which I think will give the city, not just the Housing Commission, but the entire city a roadmap, if you will, if I can use that metaphor, of directions, and I use the word plural on purpose, directions to go in and further addressing this set of issues. So we've done a lot so far, and I couldn't be more pleased with staff. That does not mean that, though, that I think this will continue being a growth area for us in the future. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Gentry. Before I go to the commissioners with any questions that you may have on staff, I mean it. This is the new reality for us. I oftentimes speak with Mr. Gentry about this and say, we're not going to solve this problem. We need to manage expectations in the community. Though it's become a new reality and in a growth area, as Mr. Gentry indicated, this is a real challenging effort. And I applaud staff, too, for the work that you're doing in this multi-pronged strategy moving forward. We're probably also not going to be stopping this. It's not going to be something that we've done, we're going to do for 5 to 10 years, and then all of a sudden we've solved it and stopped. One of the questions that's coming up a lot, and I heard it a lot on this recent trip to Washington, D.C. from folks from the San Diego delegation, was who's coordinating? Is there an overall regional coordination of the homeless effort? I'd like Ms. Jones or Ms. Villanueva for your thoughts on that.
Rick's trying not to say anything right now. So for our region, the closest we have to a coordinating body is the Regional Task Force on the Homeless, because they sort of are the pass-through approver or initial approver and monitoring agency for all of the continuum of care funded programs. But they have limited authority. Right. So they don't have direct authority over the city. So what Rick was speaking to is where we're trying to get to as far as coordination, at least for the city.
Let me point out as well that there are a lot of focuses or foci, I forget my Latin here. There are a lot of different focus areas in the homelessness arena. And we're one of them, but we're not the only one. And I don't think there is one. There's a regional task force on the homeless, which does the annual count every January. Also receives about 18-20 million bucks from the feds every year that they focus in this arena, mainly by pass-throughs to other implementers, some of which comes to us. Most of it does not. The county has programs that they've set up. The No Place Like Home program over there. But nobody has thrown the resources at this issue like we have. And we're spending, what was the number Lisa used a while ago, 80 million bucks?
Yeah, this fiscal year budget is about 88 million.
$88 million, and the entire allocation to the regional task force from the feds is under 20. That's a perspective. And so we are trying to take care of our own issues here with the help that we have available to us. I think that as there is no one cause for homelessness, it's a description of an end result that's created by a number of different causal factors. I could probably spend half an hour telling you my theories behind it as an amateur here. There are a number of causes behind it. It's an end result of the complexity of those problems working against themselves. And there are going to be a lot of different solutions for it. As Chair Tassin just said, I think that this is something that we're not going to have a broad brush solution to. I don't think there's one thing to do to make it go away. I think that there are not a lot of things that we can do as a community, though, to reduce the impact of it. I'll point out something else that Frank said a couple of times is absolutely true. This is both frightening and reassuring for us. There is nobody in the country doing more than we're doing. Now, the frightening part is that there's no place to look to give us a magic solution. The reassuring part, though, is that we are addressing this as a community, I believe, in a intelligent and meaningful way, pulling resources together as we go. I suspect that the way this arena will look 4 years from now be as different from now as it was 4 years ago when we first got serious about it with our own Housing First San Diego plan for the Housing Commission.
Commissioner Culper?
I'm going to second everything that was said about how impressive this is and the excellent work of staff. I'm looking in particular at the served versus the goal summary. And those are extremely impressive numbers. Basically across the board, we're overachieving the goals. But I do want to dwell on it for a second, because if it were the other way around, if we were falling short of the goals across the board, I think it would sort of raise a lot of questions about why that was the case. And it seems like if across the board we're overachieving, it's worth sort of pausing on for a moment as well. So I'm wondering, as to what the theory is on that. Is that because we set very cautious goals, or is it because we've been able to do more than we anticipated with the resources? Or is it maybe because, for example, the number of people in need of the service was actually higher than we expected?
That's a fantastic question. And it's, so let me point out first permanent housing, where the annual goal is 264. What that annual goal means is we have agreements with HUD that say we will serve at least 264 households annually in that housing. Because of the cost of that housing, so some of the rental costs that we pay towards that housing, those rental units are less than a traditional private market unit. They have affordability layered over them, so they might be a tax credit unit. So they have other affordability covenants on them. So it doesn't cost us as much to serve that household as HUD is funding us for. So the goal, when HUD gives you rarely more money than you need to serve a household, because it's usually the other, you know, it's usually the other way around, is to make sure that we're maximizing and spending all those dollars. So basically, we're at 125% of our committed lease up rate because we are able to utilize those dollars, work with our providers, go out, access additional units within the private market or other funding, you know, communities, and go ahead and serve more families. So that's an example where that we've really maximized the dollars we've had. In rapid rehousing, it's usually a little different. Rapid rehousing usually costs more per families and is costing us more per family than it used to. So frankly, we may not see that those numbers next year. Our goal with rapid rehousing is to leverage other resources in the community so that the money that we're spending on those families is focused on rental assistance and the services we're providing, and not spending that money in ways that maybe we can get utility deposits from someone else, we can get security deposits from another resource, so that we're leveraging multiple resources to support those families. So we've done really well in rapid rehousing. With our rental markets the way they are, we might not quite see the same numbers because we might have to spend a little more on rental housing next year. So that's where it's a good question to really look at what those numbers look like. As far as sort of the day center and the interim housing, that's really showing the level of need that's out there. That's why those numbers are so high.
Yeah, that last thank you. That's very helpful in kind of understanding this. But that last part seems like a really significant point. Related to that, on the permanent supportive housing, and again, forgive me, I'm still sort of getting my feet under me here. I feel like this may have been addressed at the last meeting on some level, but is it accurate that there's been a significant uptick in the amount of permanent supportive housing that is in the pipeline? And where do we, I mean, it seems like it's such a critical piece of this puzzle long term. Where do we see that headed? And, you know, is there any barrier we can point to that is maybe preventing that from reaching the levels it needs to be at?
Thank you. This is the part that always hits the newspaper and makes us look bad, the high cost of the housing we produce from scratch. And we have, I'm going to ask the real estate people, I may need some accurate numbers on exactly what we've got in the pipeline right now. Well, it's on that piece of paper I handed out to you earlier. Let's take a look at it. Fatina, thank you. Would you talk about what we've got in the pipeline in terms of permanent supportive versus what we targeted initially 3 years?
Yeah, sure. So Tina Kessler from the Real Estate Department. As Rick mentioned, permanent supportive housing is kind of a new endeavor for us. We started that in fiscal year 17 with our first round of Housing First San Diego. So we have quite a bit of permanent supportive housing in the pipeline, but it's a new process for us. In the first round, so fiscal 15 through 17, we have 7 transactions. The fiscal 18 will bring forward 3, and we anticipate another 3 to 7 with the funding that was released in September. We probably have another, I would say, between 250 and 350 units of permanent supportive housing coming down the pipe.
You know, there's always an argument that you use a supply side subsidy to create additional product, which is very expensive, or do you use a demand side subsidy to help people utilize what's already in the marketplace? And to me, the answer to that question is yes, you do both. Because if we don't produce extra supply, then we're going to at some point use up all the existing resources. But in the meantime, it's the existing resources that are more efficient and more cost productive. If you look at the 1,000 veterans program, Housing Your Heroes, those 1,000, the overwhelming majority of those were housed in existing units in the community. There, and we have not priced ourselves out of the existing property market yet with our voucher program or rapid rehousing, as have other communities like in the Bay Area. So we try to utilize as much of current product as we can because it's efficient and as the money stretches further, understanding that we still need to do some additional production and growth too. So we, as you saw from all the different goal areas that Lisa talked about in our last Housing First set of goals last summer of 17, we've got about a half a dozen different areas we address, and then we'll use that to adjust in subsequent years going forward. So the answer, we're trying to do all the above and stretch the money as far as we can, understanding that the real estate development is going to be hugely expensive.
Commissioners. Yes, Commissioner Hester.
I second all the compliments that the commissioners and Mr. Gentry have stated. I agree. I'm quite impressed with the performance of this particular aspect of the Housing Commission. I did not see, however, any, I guess I'm looking at slide number 19, the homeless shelter services programs. And I wonder what we know about foster youth who has a very high homelessness rate after they leave from turning 18. And so I wonder what assistance is available for them.
Right. That's a great question. So, I want to point out this rapid rehousing program there. A good percentage of those numbers represent transitionally aged youth. So we have three rapid rehousing programs specifically targeted for transitionally aged youth. And that's a little new for the commission. We're getting more involved in transitionally aged youth. We recently submitted through HUD's most recent NOFA for continuum of care funding an expansion of that program. And that was provisionally approved to go forward to HUD from the regional task force for funding. In addition, as I pointed out, I think in our future projects, we've been partnering on the Youth Demonstration Program grant, and those are 18 to 24 is the standard date range, which also includes that foster care youth.
Yeah. If I could also add to that, part of our 2.0 program that we kicked off in late 15 was to work with San Diego State and their Guardian Scholars Program. We set aside 100 vouchers for former foster care kids who are now in school, but can't quite. They're emancipated, but they're not independent financially. And well, that's pretty well utilized, as I recall. I see Mr. Davis nodding his head. So we've utilized that. We also targeted 25 vouchers for the families at the Monarch School. And we also, the Churchill, you can see right out the window here, that's 72 units, 56 are occupied by vets, so the remaining, even I can do this math, come on, Gentry, 18, half are coming out of the public incarceration, and the others are foster kids. There are 8 of them in there. And you would say that putting 18, 19, 20-year-olds in with the properties primarily adults would not be very useful. On the contrary, some of those old grizzled vets are having to raise those kids that are coming in there needing some direction and guidance and not always polite. So I think that what we've tried to do is to put together programs and initiatives that fit all these different aspects of this problem. Again, there's no one thing that'll solve it. There was some discussion a year ago that just getting the shelters out there, that'll solve the problem.
And I would support, I made a recommendation that we should support those shelters. I think they're an integral part of the approach. But as the end solution, no. It's going to take a lot of different things. And because, this is caused by a lot of different elements of our society. And I think it's the end result of about 30-plus years of poor public sector investments of our monies. I think that we've not invested in infrastructure, either housing or people, like we should have over the past 30 years or so. And we're reaping the results right now.
Okay, Ms. Jones, Ms. Villanueva, thank you very much for the excellent presentation. Let me just close with saying, going forward, we're happy with what we've seen so far, but going forward, there's going to be disagreements on what we should be doing and how we should be doing things. Expect that. As long as this agency is involved in there, we're going to be second-guessed on what we've done and how we've done it along the way. That's why it's so important that we be very thoughtful in our strategies going forward, and that we continue to pivot on things that aren't working for us. But at this point, I think we can take a great deal of pride in knowing that we're national leaders right now, I think, in this issue, but not get comfortable with the success we've had today. So thank you very much for your presentation. Okay, commissioners, those are the items that we had on the regular agenda for today. There are some informational reports that I would encourage you to read, especially the new commissioners that are in the packet as well today. And with that, I am going to adjourn the regular meeting and we're going to go into closed session. Thank you for participating.